Filing period continues this week for candidates running for local office. Pittsburgh Town Board Member Kyle Shipp has officially thrown his hat in the ring in the open race for mayor, while Renuka Soul has made it official as a candidate for Chapel Hill Town Council. That town council race in Chapel Hill is guaranteed to be a crowded one. 7 declared candidates already, and there's going to be an 8th. We'll have a guest here in this studio during the 8 o'clock hour to officially announce their run for Chapel Hill Town Council. Stay with us for that in a couple hours. Incumbents Michael Parker and Ty Wynn definitely are not running for re-election, so we'll see at least 2 new town council members when all is said and done. Fellow incumbents Jess Anderson and Amy Ryan are up for re-election this year. Neither one has announced their plans, so the field could get even more crowded in the foreseeable future. Elsewhere in local government, the Orange County Partnership to End Homelessness recently met with town and county leaders to provide an update on the local unsheltered population. Speaking afterward with 97.9 The Hill, County Commissioner James Etta Bedford said the partnership is having trouble finding housing for those individuals, but there are some good signs as well.
We are serving more people, I think, what we knew, but it always reconfirms it when you see it in print and you hear it, is that it's taking longer. We had a big increase in vouchers that we're able to give out from fall of 2020 and that we keep, but it's getting longer length of time for people to be able to lease up those vouchers, find a landlord and find a place that they can manage. So that's a big concern. Then they looked at returning to homelessness, and those numbers, I mean, despite the increase in people who need services, it was good that the numbers have sort of come back down after that 2021 increase. But mostly the people that return to homelessness, it's hovering average about 13% total returns, which is down from 2019, a little up for these first 5 months of 2023. But that's where, in just listening to the social workers, it's sort of like, hey, we have street outreach. We have these social workers. We're getting people into the housing. And perhaps the next step is that those folks need some continued support, to stay in that housing. And what would that look like?
That's Orange County Commissioner James Etta Bedford there. You can get the full conversation in the News on the Hill section of our website, chapelboro.com. In other local news, Orange County Animal Services reported a positive rabies test yesterday, the 3rd so far in 2023. Officials say the case originated Sunday on Schley Road north of Hillsboro when a resident and their dog had an altercation with a fox that later tested positive. Reminder to keep your pets up to date on their vaccines. If they are exposed and they're vaccinated, they only need a booster shot. But if they're unvaccinated, they'd have to be euthanized or quarantined for 4 to 6 months. Over to Raleigh now, where advocates for legalized medical marijuana got bad news yesterday. State House Speaker Tim Moore says the House is not likely to vote on that bill this year. That's Moore's decision. The bill has enough bipartisan support to pass, but Moore won't advance a bill unless it has majority support among his own party. Meanwhile, state health officials say there's yet another delay in plans to switch about 160,000 Medicaid recipients onto new managed care tailored plans. That switch was originally scheduled for last December, but then got postponed to this October. Now it's going to be delayed beyond that, though enrollees will still be covered by their current plans. There was a big piece of good news from Raleigh yesterday, too, though. CNBC has named North Carolina as America's top state for business for the 2nd year in a row. A high-ranking Raleigh official recently stopped by 97.9 The Hill not too long ago. DMV Commissioner Wayne Goodwin was a guest on the show On the Porch with Randy Bowler. He spoke then about his past jobs as a lawmaker and the state's insurance commissioner and how those roles are informing his actions and priorities today.
I believe that all the other hats that I've worn help prepare me, because a lot of what I do as DMV commissioner is respond. And of course, all the same people, but when I was an attorney, they were clients. When I was a legislator, it was constituents. When I was insurance commissioner, consumers. Now, as DMV commissioner, they're customers. They're all the same people, but different names. I respond to them as I did wearing every other hat. I'm solving problems, listening, empathizing, connecting people with subject matter experts who can help solve problems. And if we don't, they have the answer, and the law doesn't have the answer, working with lawmakers and others, how do we improve our laws, improve our processes to help people. And the biggest thing is somebody who understands government and the people help shorten lines, shorten wait times, help improve technology.
That's Wayne Goodwin speaking there during On the Porch with Randy Voller. You can listen back to the full episode at the 97.9 The Hill page of our website, chapelboro.com. And finally, big news from campus this week is the Food and Drug Administration just announced a $50 million award over 5 years to UNC and Duke to establish the Research Triangle Center of Excellence in Regulatory Science and Innovation, CIRSE for short, in conjunction with NC Central and NC State, focusing on testing new drugs and medical devices. It'll be one of only five such centers in the country. 6:18, your time. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by the Sheraton Chapel Hill. Former Tar Heel Zach Gallen got the spotlight last night in the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, starting on the mound for the National League. Just the fourth former Tar Heel ever to start an All-Star Game, Gallen threw one scoreless inning, giving up one hit and recording one strikeout. The National League also got the win, breaking a nine-game losing streak. The NL's last win was in 2012, 3-2 the final score last night. While Gallen is already living his major league dream, two Tar Heels are just beginning theirs. Pitcher Max Carlson and catcher Tomas Frick heard their names called yesterday in the MLB draft. Carlson went to the Red Sox in the 12th round, while the Yankees drafted Frick in the 15th. They joined Mac Horvath, who went to the Orioles in round two. Both Carlson and Frick are juniors, so they do still have the option of returning to Carolina next year if they want. Over now to Keenan Stadium, where we are just 1 week away from the sold-out soccer friendly between Chelsea and Wrexham, a chance for UNC and Chapel Hill to give their European guests a big welcome and show themselves off to the world at large. 97.9 The Hill's Michael Coe has the story.
The press event earlier this year officially announcing the FC Series game in Keenan Stadium was Wrexham representative Sean Harvey's first time in Chapel Hill. And despite his lack of familiarity with the area, Harvey said the emblem on his team shirt immediately drew attention.
You walk around and people keep saying, he's from Wrexham.
It's easy to see why a club from a small town in Wales, which plays in the fourth tier of the English soccer pyramid, would be well known across the pond. Wrexham's popularity has boomed since American actors Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney bought the club and produced the TV series Welcome to Wrexham. That increased exposure has helped Wrexham become a participant in the FC Series, which is touring around America this summer. And when choosing host sites, Harvey said the active soccer fan base throughout the Triangle made Chapel Hill a desirable destination.
It's the interest overall that really appeals to us. You know, it's an area that obviously has got this massive soccer interest. And, you know, that's why when we had the opportunity to come and play over in the US, you know, when this opportunity came up, we wanted to make sure this was the first game that we played.
For Chelsea, Wrexham's opponent in the game, generating buzz is never a problem. One of the most popular clubs in the most popular league in the world, the Blues are known for never having been relegated from England's top flight. Chelsea have made it a tradition to make an American tour every summer, and the club played in Charlotte last year. Chelsea representative David Barnard said North Carolina has been a natural fit for the team.
Just the warmth of the people, you know, they really take upon soccer, you know, they embrace it, you know, because we can go to some places where it may be an NFL city or whatever, but when we came to North Carolina, they embraced us as a soccer team, and the enthusiasm of the crowd and the people that were watching us, you know, that's why we like coming here.
Perhaps no one is more enthusiastic about the game than UNC women's soccer head coach Anson Dorrance. Dorrance won his first career national championship in Keenan Stadium in 1981, and 42 years later, he said he couldn't be happier to see high-level soccer return to the historic venue.
I love it, and I love the fact I'm still alive to see all this. So for me, everything continues to get better at the University of North Carolina in every respect.
Dorrance has long been connected with the game in Britain, annually recruiting the best junior players from the country. The laundry list of UNC stars from this transatlantic pipeline includes Alessia Russo, Lottie Wubin-Moy, and Lucy Bronze. Dorrance acknowledged this international partnership has a part in drawing the game into Keenan Stadium, but said he wouldn't take full credit.
We've got our fingerprints all over the American game and also a lot of the English game right now. So we're very proud of the role we've played. But this isn't done in a vacuum. This is done, again, with the leadership here at the University of North Carolina, from the chancellor through the athletic director, through Mac Brown, now that we're playing here. And so these are why these things happen.
Speaking of Mac Brown, the head football coach still had to sign off on an international event being staged in his house. And even though the game will require a major operation to temporarily change the playing surface, Brown said its benefits far outweigh the drawbacks.
Anytime you can bring this many people into your community and have them shopping and buying stuff and selling the University of North Carolina to them, I just thought it was a no-brainer. It was a win-win-win from all angles.
So if you're keen to take a stroll down Franklin Street in the days around July 19th, don't be surprised if you run into a Londoner, a Welshman, or an American from across the country staying in the area to watch their favorite team. The once-in-a-lifetime event will create a once-in-a-lifetime environment, and it appears Chapel Hill is more than up to the task to host it. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Michael Coe.
Kickoff time next Wednesday at 7:30 in Keenan Stadium. Speaking of which, big congrats to James Sperling, Keenan Stadium's longtime director. He's just been named as the recipient of the Distinguished American Award by the National Football Foundation's Bill Dooley chapter. He'll be recognized at a ceremony next week Friday in Cary.